Welcome to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast, a weekly conversation about mental health, personal development, and all the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information or to find a therapist in your area, visit our website at therapyforblackgirls.com. While I hope you love listening to and learning from the podcast, it is not meant to be a substitute for a relationship with a licensed mental health professional. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me for a special bonus episode of the Therapy for Black Girls podcast. We'll get right into our conversation after a word from our sponsors. State Farm believes understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount because it provides a platform to share valuable stories and information that uplifts our community. We know how valuable it is to seek support, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm's here to help, funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities, and like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
So many of us have been patiently waiting for the arrival of the live-action remake of Disney's Little Mermaid. The 1989 classic has finally sailed back to the big screen, but this time reimagined with a new leading lady, a Black Ariel, brought to life by Halle Bailey. In anticipation for the release of the film, our team here at Therapy for Black Girls wanted to sponsor a group of young Black women to go see the film in theaters on the opening box office weekend. We partnered with Valencia Sewell, the founder of Elite 23 International, a nonprofit Chicago-based organization dedicated to empowering and uplifting women and young girls around the world. Founded on the principles of academic excellence, community involvement, and higher-level thinking, Elite makes it a priority to ignite passion and leave a lifelong positive impact on the lives of many. We invited four young women from Elite to join us on the podcast to share their experience watching the film and what the film taught them about life. Today, I'm joined by Callie, Samaya, Amari, and Kennedy. This episode does contain spoilers, so if you haven't had the opportunity to see the film yet, put this episode on pause and come back to it later. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'd love to start our conversation in here. Who did you go to the movies with to see The Little Mermaid?
I went with my cousin, and I went with her Elite group. And it was very cool when I watched the movie. I went with my dad. I think it was very good.
I went with my family and obviously Elite group and this one. And I was just singing my little heart away. I was just staring there all because it was like, wow.
I went with my mom, my sister, and my cousin, and obviously the Elite family. It was a good experience. That was my sister's first time seeing Ariel, and so I was happy she saw the Black Ariel and not the white Ariel. I mean, she can still watch it, but I'd rather see that one.
Okay, so next question. What was your favorite part about the movie?
My favorite part was when Ariel stood up to her dad and showed that she was being mature enough to make her own decisions.
My favorite part was the hair flip. It's because the sunset and the hair is gorgeous, and it's the hair flip for me is gorgeous.
I think my favorite part has to be either the scuttlebutt or Part of Your World, because like I really just like that, and the scuttlebutt was really a bop. Like.
My favorite part was probably, I'll say, when she finally got to be with Eric. It was just like a beautiful scene, and like all the mermaids was there watching her and sending her off, and her dad was like, he was there for her.
All such good answers. I can tell you all were really paying attention to this movie. So that makes me curious, were there any lessons you learned while watching The Little Mermaid?
I really think there's a lesson about how mermaids and humans could really be one.
A lesson I learned is that no matter how hard your parents try to turn you down, talk about them about like what you truly want to do instead of going behind their back. Because as you can see, that has a bad turnout in every situation, like in movies and in real life.
The lesson I took from it was, if you want something, you have to try really hard to get it, because obviously nobody else knows what you want as bad as you do. So you have to fight really hard for what you want, no matter how hard it is or what the consequences might be afterwards, as long as you get what you want when you want it.
You all are so wise, and I'm learning so much just listening to you talk about the movie. So would you recommend this movie to other families and to your friends?
Yes, I would recommend it because I really think it's a feel-good movie and it makes you kind of scared, and it's romance. Yeah, I would recommend this movie because, like, it's all about what mermaids do and stuff. It's really a good movie. You guys should watch it, and I love it so much. It's about a black girl that, like, stood up for herself.
I definitely would recommend this movie. Like, every day I go around to my friends telling them that they should go see this movie, and if they haven't seen it already, they should take me with them. You just should. And it's definitely full of a bunch of great songs, original and new.
Yes, I obviously took me to go watch this movie because it's Hallie, like it's a black female playing Ariel, and there's not a lot of black females and black artists in general taking the role of a white movie. And it's Ariel. Who wouldn't want to watch Ariel? Right. So.
I just love how y'all clap and applaud each other's answers. This is such a great example of sisterhood and loving your friends. We definitely are big fans of the Black Ariel. I feel you on that one, Amari. Okay, so my next question, what would you ask Ariel if you could actually speak to her? What questions do we have for Ariel?
I would ask her, where did you guys go at the end when she went on the boat? Where did she go? Because I felt like she was just walking. I'm like, where are you going? Because they don't know that.
I think they said they went to, like, something. Ocean.
Oh,
okay. Like islands.
I heard it. I don't remember. If you had to go back and change one decision you made, what would that decision be?
Ooh, that was actually good. Nice.
Honestly, what was she thinking when Ursula asked her, did she want to become human and have two legs? Because she was zoned out. And so I'm like, what was she really thinking? Because yes wasn't her first answer. It was like, I don't know. And then she was like, yeah. And Ursula just put a curse on my girl.
Yeah, that curse was no joke. Speaking of the curse and Ursula and all of that happened because Ariel was sneaking behind her father's back. What do you all think about Ariel hiding things from her father and sneaking around to do what she wanted to do?
I don't really think that's a good idea because she wasn't supposed to go up to the top. But if she didn't go up to the top, she would have never met Eric. I think it was a bad idea because, like, why would you follow Ursula where she went and she was going to take her voice and then turn her to get two legs? And then she was going to sell her voice for her to not talk to Eric.
It was a bad decision because you really, even though he's so persistent, you really needed to show him how bad that you wanted to be above the surface. And it comes with a lot of the responsibilities and the decisions that you have to think about as you get older.
Honestly, parents are always right. No matter if we think they're wrong, they're always right. I felt like she said, she could have been persistent with, I want to go up to the sea and, you know, up to the service. because at the end, she got legs without having to sell her voice or without all the bad things having to happen to her. So maybe if she just would have stayed underwater a little longer, she would have got her legs eventually without going through all of the stuff. Because now she got trouble.
Parents are always right. I wonder how many families and kids listening feel the same way about that. So Ursula was definitely the bad girl in this movie. How do you all decide when someone can be trusted? How do you know when someone is trustworthy and when someone is actually dangerous?
When somebody is dangerous, I would not trust them.
How do you know if they're dangerous?
I would have to learn their personality and how they act around people and how kind they are and how respectful they are of my boundaries.
I don't trust dangerous people because, like, I need to know them more if they're, like, dangerous or not. Like, I need to know what they do or what they don't do or something. Like, I need to know their personality and stuff. I need to know them.
Trust for me comes from how you act around me, and you can get restrictive, but like, I feel like her trust came out of really feeling the need to do anything to get what she wants, or like eventually after she said no, the peer pressure that she felt, because that might have been her one and only chance to actually get legs and explore.
I wouldn't say she really had trust in Ursula. She just really wanted to have her legs to get to Eric. So it was more of a, I do this and you do this for me. So it wasn't really no trust. She doesn't want legs.
At least it wasn't delusion.
Bravo! Bravo!
Y'all are such a gift. I'm so glad you were able to see this movie. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I'm having such a great time with you, but we've got to wrap this up. I'm sure you've got homework to be doing. Before we say our goodbyes, I'd love for you all to share your name and one thing that you believe makes you unique.
My name is Callie, and one way I'm unique is because not a lot of people go to tournaments, and I go to tournaments a lot.
And what kind of tournaments?
Karate, gymnastics, dance. I'm very busy.
My name is Samaya, and what makes me unique is like my style and stuff. And like, I love everything about my style and stuff, everything I wear. That's about it.
My name is Kennedy, and one way that I'm unique is with the spelling of my name. Like, it's not spelled with a Y or I, it's actually spelled with two E's at the end, because that's the same way that my mother and my aunt's name is spelled.
My name is Amari. One way that I am unique is by my name, Amari, because not everybody spells their name like me, and there's only one me, and I was named after Kamoyle Simmons, so I'm very special.
Bravo! Bravo! Bravo!
I want to thank Valencia, Callie, Samaya, Amari, and Kennedy for joining me for this episode. To learn more about the work Elite 23 is doing, be sure to visit the show notes at therapyforblackgirls.com/littlemermaid. And be sure to text two of your girls to tell them to check out this episode as well. If you're looking for a therapist in your area, be sure to check out our therapist directory at therapyforblackgirls.com/directory. And if you want to continue digging into this topic or just be in community with other sisters, come on over and join us in the Sister Circle. It's our cozy corner of the internet designed just for Black women. You can join us at community.therapyforblackgirls.com. This episode was produced by Frida Lucas and Elise Ellis, and editing was done by Denison Bradford. We'll be back on Wednesday with our full episode, but until then, continue to take good care of yourself. You may have heard that most people who are Black have O-type blood. O is commonly needed for emergencies. But did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.